Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together Psalter 79, all four stanzas. 79, all stanzas.
Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, thereof the 21st chapter, the first 8 verses. John 21, but first we read the law of God as you can find recorded in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Thus far the reading of God's word. The consistory wishes to make the following announcements. The following persons have been examined by the consistory and accepted to make confession of faith: Carolee Alleman, Lucas Busicum, Bart Weiss, Jeff Bredewech, Bradley Den Hollander, Michaela Fisher, Braden Grisnick, Maria Gallagher, Leanne Maurick, Natalia Niels, and Anton Vandenbroek. The Lord willing, confession of faith will take place in the afternoon service of May 5th. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, April 30th, and we hope to remember in prayer Gerald and Geraldine von der Breinhorst, who were blessed with a well-born girl this past week.
Congregation, let's ask for an undeserved blessing and see God's holy countenance. O Lord, God of heaven and earth, grant us a real impression of thy holiness and righteousness. O then alone, thou wilt make us low and humble, because we are come here as sinners and children of Adam. And by nature there is no desire to meet thee. But if the Holy Ghost has birth in our hearts, there will be one time a longing to meet the Lord Jesus Christ as our own Savior. But so many are unconverted and have enough in this earthly life, so busy with labors, work, with householding, etc., and school doing. Busy, maybe even in an office. But, O Lord, not seeing something of thee. We need that. We need to be made alive by thy Holy Spirit. It is so necessary that there is made a new beginning in our life, that we may be united with the Lord Jesus, that we receive a new heart. And if we have received a new beginning in this life, we need today that our heart is laid open, that is necessary for all of us. Oh, some of thy children can be so dry today, so empty. There can be so a lack of love, a lack of faith, that there is nothing inside. But, O Lord, bring them back. Bring us all back this morning to where we came from. Our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head. O Lord, apply thy word to our hearts. Help thy servant in explaining thy word. Without thee we can do nothing that is every time the same, but especially today in the strange language. O Lord, we need thy presence. It is so undeserved. We beg thee that we may receive a word from thine lips, and give us as thy servants the word in our mouth and also the matters in our hearts. Give reverence. Give simplicity. Love. Truth, uprightness. Oh, open our ears, but also our hearts. Make place, make room for that only precious Savior. We cannot do without him anything, but we cannot meet thee in the day that we die. We cannot meet thee without that precious blood. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. O Lord, thou knowest if there is a people this morning that is longing for thee, that is longing for a token of thy good pleasure, a token of thy that thou knowest us, and there can be something in our lives that we have received some hope, some courage, and it can be received something from the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need a sight at Him. We need Himself. O Lord, give that we will not rest in the benefit in our daily life or in our spiritual life, but that we will be restless until we can rest into Him, thy beloved Son, the Son of thy free and sovereign pleasure from eternity. He has said, I will come, I will do what they cannot do anymore. Remember the whole congregation. Remember thy servants here in Fort McLeod, Reverend Don Hollander and his family, his wife. Be with him in Calgary, and bless him in his labors there. Be with our own congregation of New Beierland in the Netherlands. Help the elders who have to read the sermons. O Lord, we thank thee that our former congregation of Benthausen received a new minister who had to accept the call. Oh, there will be gladness. But, O Lord, please, we beseech thee that it is not about a person, about an office bearer, but that it is a token, seen as a token that thou go further with thy works all ages until the day of judgment. And it will be from child to child that thy name will be honored. Also here in Fort McLeod, there are children in the church. Oh, give, O Lord, that we may be simple for them, that they can understand it. There are widows and widowers. Oh, we ask for them for help and support every day, every hour, every morning, when they wake up and it is so empty in their houses, and every evening when it's so still and empty. Oh, comfort them with that real comforter. Be with the sick ones, the needy ones. Oh, may we lift from the result of sin to the cause of all suffering, so that room was made by Him the only comfort for thy people, for their body and soul, for the life on earth and for the life to come. Be near and dear to all thy servants, the elders and deacons, also here, the consistory of Fort McLeod. Be with the persecuted church wherever they gather, and be with the school, the Christian school, the Calvin Christian school. Bless them all who work there with our precious children. They have a soul for eternity. Oh, that they may be converted. And, O Lord, instruct thy children this morning. Don't forget them. And may there be exercises in their life of grace. And so we ask for the application of the blood of Christ. Once and again, all undeserved. O, a token of thy mercy, O Lord, as a covenant-keeping God, we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake only. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 72. Psalter 72, all stanzas. Congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to reflect this morning on the words that we have been read to you from John 21. Our text for this morning is from John 21, the first 8 verses. We read only verse 7, the first words. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Thus far. Congregation, this morning we place above the portion how Jesus reveals himself to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. How Jesus reveals himself to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Not different as in our days. First, he keeps them waiting. Is there a waiting people here in our midst? To meet the Lord Jesus today. That is his way. He keeps them waiting. Why? Secondly, he cuts everything off. We have to learn that. And in that way, he makes room for the only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so one-sided. It comes from above. It comes from him to us. He opens their eyes. Our third point. So, how Jesus reveals himself to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. First, he keeps them waiting. Why? Secondly, he cuts everything off. Thirdly, he opens their eyes and their hearts. He reveals himself. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. The Lord has shown himself several times after Easter. First to Mary, then to his beloved disciples without Thomas. And a week later, he showed himself to his disciples with Thomas. He could not believe that the Lord Jesus was alive. But then the Lord Jesus revealed himself again to him. It is me. And then he said, my God, my Lord. And remember, for Thomas, that has been totally impossible. But the Lord has made that possible for him. And by himself. And today the Lord Jesus comes by his word and spirit. And then he will give the same experience to those spiritual Thomases. Are they here this morning? In Fort McLeod, Thomas is. Experience the total impossibility to meet the Lord Jesus again, or for the first time. Are those poor and miserable people in our midst this morning, congregation, who cannot believe by their own power? Oh, if the Lord will come this morning, you will sing. You will cry out, my Lord and my God, thou art my Savior. But we know, we have to know that Savior spiritually. He must be made known to us by his word and spirit. That's the same, like he has to be revealed to us. But how does the Lord do that? We have read, and he revealed himself too. That's his word. So the Lord does. That's what the Holy Spirit by God's word this morning say to us. Can be there are people in our midst that are longing to meet the Lord Jesus for the first time. To be able to cast an eye on him from the depth of misery. Do you know what it is, misery? Missing God. My guilt. No bridge to him. Everything closed. And that is my sin. I am sin. I not only do sins, I do sins, but that's because I am sin. I am Adam, a fallen creature, disobedient to God, only busy with myself, with the earthly sorrows, earthly busy things, no eye for God. But if the Lord comes, if the Holy Ghost comes, and he makes you alive, then you will experience what it is to be, to have closed, the way to the Lord is closed, and that there is such a distance between the holy God and me, that unholy and sinful creature. But if you are in the depth of misery and have learned to cry unto the Lord with mouth and heart, to him who can give salvation, oh, may the Lord Jesus Christ make himself known to you. Or perhaps it can be people that have met him, maybe from a distance, that they could not go to him, but they saw him. And it was away. It gone. It was gone. It was just a moment. But they have seen him. Oh, they are longing for seeing him for the second time and more times. Do not think that God's children are once converted and then every day are converted. No. You hear that often. In several churches, I'm a child of God, I'm converted, and I climb every day a little bit higher. That's not what we read in this chapter. That's not what we read in God's word. No, he revealed himself again. That was necessary. It was not the first time. But they were longing to see him. Something happened in their life, the life of the disciples. After these things, you know, it did not start with the Lord Jesus. It did not begin that spiritual life with Jesus. No, after these things, there happened something before. And also is in spiritual life today. There are three parts of the Heidelberg Catechism that have to be learned by heart. Not by heart, but that have to be learned spiritually, three parts: misery and then salvation. But first, knowing yourself in the mirror of the Ten Commandments, in the mirror of God's holy word, and before his holy countenance. If the word is a little bit open then, oh, then it's with the bride in the Song of Songs. Yeah, he is altogether lovely. But if it's closed again, they miss him more than ever before. Do you know what it is to be so unholy before the countenance of a holy God? Do you know what it is to learn that you are miserable and poor, so poor, that you need a Savior? And if you have received the revelation of that Lord Jesus Christ, and you look inside today, this morning, and you see only a desert so dry, you can feel the power and the love of that revelation not anymore. Oh, then maybe tomorrow, this morning, a cry in your heart unto the Lord, reveal thyself again. The Lord Jesus, he showed himself several times to prove that he was truly resurrected. And he has seen Simon, and he has also been seen of Thomas, but now it's so quiet. But they did receive a promise. What promise? Think about what we read in Matthew 28. Mary, you must go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. That's a promise. You will see him one day. And where? At the shores of the Sea of Galilee. But it's not only a promise, it's also an instruction. You have to go. And they obeyed. They went to Galilee, to the mountain that Jesus has appointed to them. We don't know which mountain that is, but it is in the north of Israel. They walked maybe 3 days to be there, to get there. 140 kilometers from Jerusalem. The Sea of Galilee, or also called the Sea of Tiberias, called after a small town that's called Tiberias, named after Emperor Tiberius, the Roman Emperor. And there you shall see me. And yes, that is where they want to be, where they can find him, the place where he makes himself known. Boys and girls, do you like to come in church? That's the place where the Lord Jesus can say unto your soul, here I am. So you have to be here in church. Smijtegeld, he was a preacher in former times, he said, if you want to be wet, so walk in the rain. If you want to be converted, so be in the church. Don't let your seat empty. And God's children love the church services so much because this is the place where God's children may have come to know Jesus, meeting him, not literally like in former times with the disciples, no, spiritually. How can you meet the Lord Jesus spiritually? Well, by his word and spirit. And the word is opened and light falls upon him. Behold the Lamb of God. And the Holy Spirit takes that word and brings it into your heart. It makes an impression that never goes out. The feeling can fade away, but the impression, you will remember it all days. The house of God, that's the place where God's Spirit works. That's the place you will love, where the peace is given. The Bible says, the fat of his house is tasted. And they pray, O Lord, if thou hast ever spoken to my soul, may I go to church again? Remember, it is not normal that we can go to church. Think about people who are sick, who are lying at their beds, listening at a distance. They have no strength to come. Isn't it a wonder that we are able even to come to church as an undeserved grace of God? Especially when we feel that we are such a dirty sinners, true enemies, so unholy. Do you love coming to the church? Oh, it's the place where the poet sings about, O ghost, God of hosts, O God of grace, how lovely is thy holy place, how good and pleasant is thy dwelling. Let's appreciate this. We have never seen this beautiful new building before. When we were here before, 6 years ago, it was only the old building. It's beautiful. But it's outwardly. But if the Lord himself revealed himself here in this church building, in the church service, oh, how lovely is thy house. We have the means still. We have God's word. We have a church building. We are not persecuted. And faith is by hearing, and hearing by the word of God that must be preached. And the Lord, the King of the church, he gave you an own minister. That's his grace. He gave you office bearers. That's his faithful care for your congregation. Do you thank the Lord that he remembers you? There were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. We hear all those names, and then we realize they are all different. Peter, that impulsive leader, that big character, the man who is fiery and is often the first, totally different compared with Thomas. Thomas is shy. Thomas is, we say he's an unbeliever, but he was an unbeliever because he received faith. But, he was doubting, could not believe by himself. Think about Nathanael, the man who, from who we read that he was upright before God. The man of that precious confession. Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Different. Not the same like James and John, the son of Zebedee. And there were two more. Seven disciples. And that's how it is in God's kingdom. One minister is not the same as the other minister. Every elder is different. Every deacon is different. That's how it is. That's how it was. All times. But they were together. They were one. They were united in their head. Jesus Christ. They had the same master. And then you can cooperate when you have one master. The same master. One of heart and one of sense. Why? It was a love and a desire to meet the Lord Jesus again. And they understood each other. And there was connection and unity. That's not what the Satan wants in church. He wants to split. Don't give him room, congregation. That's Satan who wants to split. Life attracts life. They have all got the same promise of the Lord Jesus. That is where you shall see me. And now they are there. They had come in Galilee, but they don't see anything. But wasn't that true that the Lord promised that? Yes, he did. Is the Lord not faithful? Yes, he is. He is for sure. But when will he come then? Yes, he keeps them waiting. Oh, congregation, we have to learn that, to wait on God. And I know there will be people this morning who have learned how difficult it is to wait on God. Especially when you are in need. You cannot wait to be rescued. We are men of the day. We can die every moment. So I understand you, but my time is not God's time. It's a different time. He is very wise. He is so wise, and I'm so dumb. He is so holy, and I'm so sinful. He knows everything. I don't know anything. Did you learn that already? Saul thought that he knew everything. But then the Lord came and sent out his Holy Spirit. And then Saul was there in the depth of his misery. I have persecuted the church of the Lord Jesus. Saul, what do you know? Nothing. I know nothing anymore. That's how it goes. If the Lord converts you, you are so dumb in your own eyes. You don't anything. You know one thing, that you are a sinner, that you are godless. You're an enemy of God. That's what you learn. But sometimes it's more subtle. We have to learn that we always try to walk on our own path. In my direction, in my time, but oh, if my will is one with God's will, then I can pray thy will be done. And that includes, O Lord, come in thy way at thy time. Peter cannot wait. I'm going fishing. Typically, Peter. This takes me too long. We don't see anything. We don't see the Lord Jesus here. And the others say, okay, we also go with you. But that was not the command. What did the Lord Jesus say unto them? What was his command unto them? As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. What should I do then? Oh, they had to preach the word of God. And they must teach the nations. Do you hear that? The Lord leads his people in a way they do not know. They don't see that. They don't expect that. And the Lord has written in his holy word, I will lead the blind in the way they know not. So, I don't know anything. I'm blind, I'm deaf in the ways of the Lord. And that is the reason that the Lord says, I keep you waiting. And what is the reason, the purpose? Well, he will cut everything off so that there will be room for Christ alone. Our second thought, he cuts everything off. I think they have started optimistically. Seven experienced fishermen, a sea full of fish, a suitable boat. And Peter is hard at work. He's an active man. He's a doer. He was not lazy. He has gotten the net to shore and pulled it out. But nothing in it. That can happen one time. But then the second time, he took his net again and pulled it out. Nothing. And again, no fish. Peter also gets warm from it. He removes his top garment. And then again, that net in the sea, pulled it out, nothing. And we read, and that night they caught nothing. We have to learn something here. God brings his children into impossibility. That's how God works. Why? Why? Because he is always leading towards the miracle so that he alone will receive the glory. Yes, if the Lord comes in your life and sends his spirit out into your heart, you start to work. Busy. Trying to fish. Not literally, but it's an example for the spiritual life. It's a picture. Busy with doing this, doing that not anymore. Stopping with this, starting with that, being busy to make yourself holy before God. But what did you catch? Are you ready to meet the Lord, the Day of Days? Nothing. Do you have this morning empty nets? Or do you have something to bring to the Lord, to please the Lord, to show the Lord, to tell to the Lord? Oh, our heart is by nature so full of all kind of other things. There's no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so busy with our daily life, with our work, with our householding, but also spiritually. So busy to get better, to climb up, to help ourselves. We do it by ourselves. And we think that we are in the right way. Yes, they were experienced fishermen. And they did what they always had done. And that was always successfully, to throw out the net on the right side. But then there was nothing. So the Lord Jesus was not there. And then they said, we are going to fish, and the nets are empty. And that is the way in which the Lord works in the heart of his people. Because he always goes through the impossibility when he is going to fulfill his promise. And when morning came, Jesus stood on the shore. How far away? I think 100 meters. You may say, now, look, behold, this is your master. Come and see him. It's only 100 meters. You can see that. But, no. The disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. How is that possible? That is what God's children learn. The person of the precious Savior is so hidden. They are so blind for him. And it's a guilty blindness. That's the fruit of our deep fall in Adam. And when the name of the Lord Jesus is preached here from Sunday to Sunday, he comes near to you in the garment of his word. And when he is proclaimed as the only Savior, and you are so blind, and you are so deaf, and you cannot see him, that's my guilt. That's a guilty blindness. But in the meantime, the Lord can pull something, can come with the cords of love, and you feel that he is in the environment. In the Song of Songs we read that the bridegroom is behind the wall. So, children, if you have a wall here, we cannot see who is behind the wall, but he is very close by. But we are not able to see that. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. When his word is preached, he comes to the congregation in the garment of his word. You learn about him, you hear about him, but you don't see him for yourself. They have an application for your soul. Because we are so spiritually unable to believe. It's the same with the travelers to Emmaus. And what do we read? Their eyes were kept. The Lord kept their eyes. That they did not know Jesus, but they did have burning hearts. There was need. They needed the Lord Jesus. And they were very disappointed that he has died. But the Lord Jesus is going to stir up that desire, that fire, giving burning hearts. They are longing for him. He pulls the cords of love and he is in their company. But their eyes were kept that they did not know him. And then the Lord is going to expose how hopelessly poor you are, who completely blind you are, and how impossible it is to see him. That makes you humble. That makes you meek. That makes you dependent. Oh Lord, open my eyes. And then in this way, they learn, finally, in Dutch we say, it is door u alleen. It's so one-sided. Wat is het eeuwig welbehagen? In English, it's through thee alone, for thy eternal good pleasure. And yeah, then the Holy Spirit brings his children to point zero. Do you know that point in your life? That you are, that it's so impossible to be converted. It's so, that you are so unworthy to get an eye on him. And then Jesus said unto them, children, have ye any meat? There stands the Savior. They do not recognize him. And he comes with a simple question. Do ye have any meat? And I can tell you that answer is very short and abrupt. No. That's not friendly. That's not kind. Why so short? Why so abrupt? Well, I think they have shamed them. Because they were experienced fishermen and have fished the whole night and didn't have anything. So, and the second thing is, hospitality in the East is hospitality a virtue that's very important. And they could give their stranger nothing. And there's also a spiritual lesson in this history. The Lord says today unto us all, let's see, come. Show me what you have to meet the judge. Show me what you have in loving me and giving me something. Are you able to meet me at this moment? Do you know what I have? Emptiness. And this is the way in which the Lord makes room for himself alone. That is his condition for receiving grace, because it has to be Jesus alone, 100%. Oh, he makes the Lord Jesus desirable as the only one that is needed, my only hope. Because out of me there is no fruit in eternity. But we need the Lord Jesus when he says, in me is your fruit found. Oh, then they will learn nothing from us. Everything from him. That's how it goes. And congregation, are there poor beggars here in our midst? Are you still trying to make yourself suitable? Are you still trying a little to get better? That will not happen. Never. Oh, the Lord is busy, reverently spoken, to cut off everything that comes out of our rotten flesh. Even our so-called religion. It's all fruit of Adam. We cannot pay anything. Well, we continue the history and then we will sing. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. No, nobody did that. But they had to do and they obeyed. It was completely against the way. No experienced fisherman would do that. But they had to learn trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Be like a child. Obedience is the first fruit of the new life. Because disobedience is our fallen Adam. And then there is made a new obedience. And then you read that nice word. At thy word I will let down the net, like Peter says on another place. There's no other way left. There's no hope. There's nothing. So yeah, let us obey. How sober and simple is it written? They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. 153 big fishes. Oh, that's a sign, a token of the goodness of God, full of abundance. David sings, my cup runneth over. All blessings received, not worked for. In a way that I could not see how that has to happen. But if the Lord gives you some blessings in your daily life, that's great. You have to thank Him for it. And if the Lord gave some courage and hope and He opened His word up sometimes for you and then it's closed again, yes, that are blessings. But that's a lesson. God's children have to rely not on the benefits, but on the benefactor. That's our third point. So let's sing Psalter 304, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Psalter 304, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Thank you.
Jesus reveals himself. First, he keeps the disciples waiting, and that has a purpose. Secondly, he cuts everything off. That's how he works. And now our third thought, he opens their eyes. And we read, when they received that big amount of fishes, then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." How did he know that? John. He saw it first. Did he have better eyes? No. The only reason that the Lord opened his eyes. 153 large fish. God's benefits very great. People of God forget never those benefits. It's God who gave them. But he must receive all honor. He has a right to my life, to all my life, and to all my heart. Is this not true? We can be so busy with everything except the Lord Jesus Christ. He revealed himself again to John. It is the Lord. Oh, that makes him joyful, but in the meantime, it makes him meek and humble. And they learn, we know it, that the Lord sometimes pulls himself back because, yes, then are we full with our benefits? And we are not longing for the benefactor. Then he pulls himself back. And then God gives the lack so that you may long for him again. Blessed are those who mourn. Why? They will be comforted. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Why? Because they will be filled. Blessed are those who feel and see that they are blind. Because in his time, at that moment, your eyes will be opened. That's what the Lord says. And you will bear witness of me. That's what we hear. It is the Lord. He sees that this is Jesus because his eyes have been opened to this mediator. And congregation, on the journey to a never-ending eternity, that great meeting with God, our judge, can I pay with my benefits that I have received? No. There is only one real coin to pay your debt. That's the pearl of great worth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Your only hope can be Jesus Christ. About him says the Apostle Paul, Christ is our hope. Only the price of his precious blood can pay my debts. We need the benefactor. We have to receive opened eyes for him, the working of the Spirit. open our heart and open our eyes. And everything that is not Jesus and Him alone, everything that is not Jesus and Him crucified, has to be cut away and is painful. As God's people, it's painful to give back everything that you cannot pay with. But what is impossible for me, that's possible for Him. He's the Almighty God, all powerful and faithful. And listen, did He give you a promise one time, long ago? Did He give you an instruction? You will never forget it. Did you see Him from far away, maybe? Oh, what He says this morning unto you, what went forth out of my lips remains firm and unbroken. You will see me. And I will show myself unto you. And now it comes. I am willing to show myself. Spiritual beggars, do you believe that? Do you believe that? That He is willing to save a godless man, a godless woman? That He has so much love to His own people that are only sinners, that He is willing to save them, that He is willing to love them with an eternal love. He loved them all from eternity, and He will give that in time. At His time. But we do not trust the Lord. Yeah. We have to be honest this morning, people of God. We do not trust Him. Never. And even if you have spoken unto your soul, and it was so full of love and peace, it was so true. No doubt. We are so bad that we try to doubt again. It was so clear, but now, yeah, yes, did, and but, yeah, you know. And I think, and I see, and I don't see, and His words are the truth. His words are deeds. And it's my sin that if He's spoken unto me, that I try to forget that, and I doubt about it, as if He is not faithful. Or we dishonor Him. But if He comes again, He knows who His people are, unable to believe. He knows what it is to be man. Children of Adam, He knows it. And then He comes back. And He comes down. And there, in that pit, that miserable people, the beggars who have nothing, who cannot see, who cannot believe, comes down to them and He shows Himself in His moment, is His time. He makes Himself known in His time. He does, He will do what He has promised. He is the Almighty. Oh, then when He comes, in his beauty, in his love, in his power, so true. Then you will praise him, my Lord, my God. He is my Redeemer. He's my owner. I belong to him. I will obey him every moment. That's the goal. That's the purpose. That he will be honored by his own children. And now, oh, it will be different. Everything is different. The Master is there. He calls you. He reveals himself. Remember, disciples, as the Father sent me, so sent I you. So teach the nations. Go out and preach about me, and only about me, Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's your message. Until the day of today, people, in Fort MacLeod, his name is called. His name is proclaimed that he's faithful, is willing to redeem. Yes, but you say, yeah, finally, what can I do? Yes, the question of the Jews. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? But it's not about doing. It's about being nothing. It's about being an unworthy sinner. It's about being a poor beggar, beseeching that he will come. And sometimes he will show that he doesn't need your prayers, because he answers before you pray. He does his own work by his own hands and by his own Holy Spirit at his own time. Oh, be glad, people, that he does everything by his own. That he is not dependent of me, of my feelings, but it depends all on his good pleasure. And he will also live in the midst of the afflicted and poor people. Now you know why they are poor. Because Christ is rich. And if I am rich by myself, there's no room for Christ. And then when I am totally poor and he comes with his richness and he... Oh, then you understand what Isaiah is saying. Oh, children of God, pay without money, without price, wine and milk. He comes not for those who are able to believe. He comes for the wicked. He has come for the godless. He comes to people with empty nets and empty hearts and who have nothing. And he opened what is closed. And he just enters through those closed doors. And he says, peace be unto you. Here I am. Here I am. And then I may be speechless with wonder, crying out, it is the Lord. O children of God, soon you will do nothing else than praise him. And all eternity you will sing about his beauty, about his willingness, admiring him, thanking the triune God. But we have to hurry. Hurry to the Sea of Tiberias, where he is. We must hurry to seek him. And we have to wait on him. That seems a contradiction. Do you understand it? Hurry and wait for him. That means begging as a poor beggar. No rest until we will meet him and he may open my eyes. That is not inactive or passive, no. That's prayerfully expecting him. Because he has said that there will be a poor and afflicted people, but they will trust in his name. And that trust is given by himself. And now I have only one question left. Dear children, is there some love in your heart? Love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we always think about adults if we are thinking about God's children. But there was a Timothy, there was an Obadja, there was Moses, there was Samuel. Sometimes young children receive a new heart. Do you pray for it? Every day, several times. Don't rest before the Lord gives you a new heart. And then those people who are grown up and are an adult in their own eyes, maybe even a Pharisee, look to the smallest children. Look to the babies. They cannot do anything without help. You have to be like a child. Amen. O Lord, thy word, it went out. May it be in thy hands a mean of true conversion. That we feel our poorness, that we may see the richness of grace and grace alone. He is so desirable, that Lord Jesus, who not only died but also awake from death and lives now eternally to the right hand of the Father, gathering his church from all nations, all languages, all ages, young and old. O Lord, learn us, hurry to the Sea of Tiberias. Learn us, teach us to search and to seek and to pray and have no rest without him. We acknowledge thee for helping with the strange language. We acknowledge thee for helping, giving thy word. Oh, may it be applied unto our hearts. May it comfort thy people. May it instruct us all. May it make holy jealous to that people of thee that is so cleansed, so unguilty anymore, because their guilts are paid by thy dear Son, thy beloved Son, in whom, O Father, thou hast thy good pleasure. We ask for a blessing of this sermon. Bring us back this afternoon, please. And forgive all our sins in speaking, in listening, in everything. We ask it in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let's sing Psalter 401. Psalter 401. Thank you. bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.